You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and the places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis, and today we're off to Hollywood. But not the Hollywood of today with its glitzy new malls and high-rise condos. It's a Hollywood of a few decades ago, a more raw, seedy place.
I once brought a girl here on a date, and I decided that I wanted to buy some crack cocaine at this intersection at Yucca and Wilcox, and she got out of the car and ran to a payphone and called her friend to pick her up.
That's Rob Zabrecki, Angelino, musician-turned-author, and today he's showing us around.
And I was begging her to get back in the car, and I had pulled over and smoked some crack. So you might go left here. And I had begged her to get back into the car, and everything was going to be fine. And she stood there stoically until her friend came, and I never talked to her again.
Zabrecki is also a recovering drug addict, and he was the lead singer of a 90s new wave punk rock band called Possum Dixon.
Hey, God, are you up there? I know it's been a while, but I've been away. I'm in trouble. I'll take a number.
Now, Rob's experience of L.A.'s drug dens and hair metal, its punk and new wave clubs, it all belongs to a certain time. And he chronicles that time and place in a new book called Strange Cures. For him, it all began in the L.A. suburb of Burbank.
We're on California Street in sunny Burbank, California. Yes, we are.
I was going to say it's like a peach-colored house.
It is peach-colored now. When I lived there, it was white.
His parents raised him on a sleepy street that looks south to Mount Lee. As a kid, Rob says he only saw the summit that faces Burbank, boring Burbank, as he called it. The other side of Mount Lee was where everything was happening. Hollywood, with its big white sign and the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, because that's where, you know, again, that was where bands play, that's where movies were shot, that's where everything kind of happened.
And Rob would take the bus.
You know, it wasn't uncommon to see, you know, transvestites on the bus or junkies or just weirdos and dropouts who kind of hop on along the way. You know, you pay your 35 cents or whatever and get a transfer and get off at Hollywood near Cahuenga, and then you could go down to Melrose and kind of dip into all the shops there that were selling all the latest records and fashions and all that jazz.
There was a woman, he remembers, who would drape herself in a sheet and hold up a sign that said, "Welcome to Hollywood." And there was Arthur's Hideaway Motel.
And would go, man, the craziest stuff goes on at Arthur's, because you would see people that were carrying video equipment and prostitutes and crack fiends going into that place.
They were shooting porn.
Worse. For who knows what they were doing in there? But it was subversive, and it was dark, and it was trippy, and it was like, it was something crazy was going on in there. And we were like, whoa, that's rock bottom, because I always looked at that as like, that's where the real drug addicts go.
Soon, after high school, after moving out of his parents' house in boring Burbank, Rob would become one of those junkies. He would acquire a penchant for heroin, cocaine, crack. While Rob was living high in Hollywood and touring with Possum Dixon, he and a couple of friends from Valley College opened up a coffee house and bar and music venue, a place called Jabberjaw, which used to be right here.
Does this place look familiar?
3711 Pico, yes, it sure does. The former machine shop turned coffee house, art gallery, micro movie theater. Now, what does it say? Fresh and Healthy on Pico, coming soon.
Jabberjaw didn't have a parking sign, no big marquee promoting the bands playing inside. You'd enter through a side gate and walk down a long alley into a courtyard.
The bands that played at Jabberjaw were the alt-rock bands of the day and what became known as indie rock. So I think there was a night here in the early 90s when Nirvana played. and Iggy Pop came to kind of support and give his blessing that made it big turn. And before you knew it, you had bands from Matador Records, Touch and Go, Thrill Jockey, what was kind of becoming as known as the indie rock thing, really became big and huge here. So you had bands like Jesus Lizard, Rocket from the Crypt, Spoon, and pretty much any band that was well known in the indie rock world kind of came through Jabberjaw. It became a national spot, and part of the reason for that is because it was an all ages venue.
Jabberjaw was a hit. Rob's personal life was not. One night, on drugs, he stumbled into Arthur's Hideaway. Yeah, that Arthur's Hideaway. A place that he started hiding out in on his binges.
And one night I was there, and I was visited by a girlfriend of mine who was my picture of a junkie. She had crashed her parents' Jaguar. She had sold all of her mother's clothes to a secondhand shop. She'd been in and out of rehabs for years. And she came to Arthur's one night. I invited her there to join me because I wanted company. And I always felt better in her when she was nearby because she was always so much worse off than I ever was.
And like perspective.
Yeah. And one night she showed up at Arthur's and she looks at me and she said, you're going to die. And
she said that to you.
Yeah, she did. And it was a big moment for me because I realized that if she was telling me that I looked bad and I had hit a bottom, then I had hit a bottom, you know. So I finished off that few days at Arthur's, and I got sober shortly after.
He cleaned up and got his life together. And today, Rob Zabrecki still hangs out in Hollywood. But instead of the desperate intersections and drug-induced parties, he found magic. It happened on a hot day while he was on tour.
I was looking for air conditioning. There was a magic store that had an air conditioner outside. And so when I went in, I was treated to a magic trick by a man who worked there at Kenzo's Yogi Magic Mart. And it was this little miracle where he put a handkerchief in his hand and he made it vanish. I was amazed by this. So I bought the trick. And that night, our guitar player broke a string. And rather than do the trick by vanishing the little silk handkerchief, it occurred to me that there was a device to vanish something. And so I asked someone in the audience if they had a wrapped condom. And somebody threw a wrapped condom on stage. And I crudely made this thing vanish with this device that I'd just purchased. And it was an amazing moment because I had entertained this group of 200 indie rockers in a way that I could have with a song or, you know, some musical interlude or something.
He found the world of magic and illusion, and it gave him another purpose. And now he plays the exclusive Magic Castle regularly in Hollywood.
So the Academy of Magical Arts.
Which is pretty poetic. He's still hanging out on the other side of Mount Lee, but with new things up his sleeve. Well, just ahead, it's his last week on Morning Becomes Eclectic, and Jason Bentley stops by to talk about his years and the music he played and curated for MBE. We'll have that for you coming up. You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. Back with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A little more than 10 years ago, this guy took over as KCRW's music director and the host of Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Well, next up on Morning Becomes Eclectic, we're pleased to welcome Oren Levie to the studio. Hi, Oren.
Hello, Jason.
How are you?
Very well, Jason.
Can you see me okay?
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us. You are the first live performer that I've had on Morning Becomes Eclectic. So welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you're kind of a special KCRW story.
That was Jason Bentley on December 2nd, 2008. A very young, spry Jason Bentley. This Friday will be Jason's last day in both of those roles. And for a guy that's darkened the doorway for a couple decades around these parts, it's going to be a big change for not only us, but for him. And I'm so happy that he's stop by the Greater LA studio to talk about it.
Steve, I've never even been in this room up here on the second floor.
Are you serious?
I haven't been back
here. It's such a big building, right? It's not that big, by the way. And you know what? There's that cut of you talking to Oren Levy, what, more than 10 years ago? And
yeah.
He's like, I can't even see. Wait, I'm across the glass over here. How long ago was that? I mean, that was like, yeah. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, it's been a good run. It's the end of an era.
You have a few more days. Friday's your last day.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to be like doing your show?
It's going to be bittersweet, but, I've had the pleasure of time to really take a bow here. And not everyone, as you know, Steve, not everyone in this business has that opportunity.
No, they change the locks on you sometimes.
You're just overnight, you just disappear. That's much more common in this business. So I am grateful that I've had a chance to really say goodbye.
I do want to go back to the beginning, though, for you on Morning Becomes Eclectic. And it's been a minute, my friend.
Well, it goes back further than that.
No. At this radio station it does. But yeah. You started on MBE back in December of 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the show had already been around at that point for decades.
Yep.
Tom Schnabel, Chris Derides, Nick Harcourt. Mm-hmm. You replaced Nick, right?
Yeah.
Nick had left.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you had to kind of balance this continuity of the brand?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, I have such respect for my predecessors and what they've done to help shape the sound of KCRW that I took that very, very seriously. I think initially there was a lot of concern that I would come in with my background being more dance and electronic music. There was a fear that I would bring too much of that to the morning. But I think over time, I won people over and they understood that I was going to really respect the musical pillars of KCRW. That is in areas like world music and soul and R&B and jazz and indie singer-songwriters and Americana. What's really important to me is being a great custodian of the brand, of Morning Becomes Eclectic. I know that it wasn't ever, my show. It was something that existed before me and will continue.
Do you think you changed it or did it change you?
Well, I think each music director had, a signature. Tom Schnabel's signature was world music.
Yeah.
And
still is, by the way.
and Chris really brought in kind of Hollywood. He integrated directors and soundtracks and things like that. Nick was very much singer-songwriter and Britpop. And for me, I think my signature is first the electronic and dance music influence, but also advancing DJ culture. And that is DJs as mixing and as storyteller, more so. That's not to say that DJs previously weren't doing that, but I think more involved in that creatively, kind of bringing forward the ability of the DJ to really take people on a great journey through these music sets. And I think the people that I brought on and recruited as, our staff were all people that understood the nuance there.
So you volunteered at KCRW.
Yeah.
You say 1992?
No, this was the summer of 88.
88?
Yeah, I just graduated from high school here in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And I just came on down and said hello.
Did you talk to Ruth Seymour?
She wasn't the first person I spoke with. She's a little intimidating for those who don't know her. She's quite a figure.
She really is. She hired you, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, she gave me a big shot. I really have to credit more Chris Derides for giving me my first chance on the radio, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do? What did you tell him?
I've always loved radio since I was a kid. I had a make-believe radio station in my bedroom, so I would act like a DJ recording songs off the radio and recording my voice. So I was involved in college radio at Loyola Marymount. That is where I met Chris. We had a softball game between the radio stations, my college station and KCRW, and that's where Chris took me aside, said, "Hey, you should maybe come over and do a demo at KCRW."
Is that KXLU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But KCRW was always on in my home. My parents, my family were big NPR people. And so it was a natural, and it was such a interesting place, especially in Santa Monica, in the 80s. You had to really dig a bit for any of the culture and the diversity. And so KCRW for me was really like a downtown on the airwaves.
So you began over the years after your volunteering and working with Chris and trying to immerse yourself in this radio station, you began this little electronic dance music show because that's what you wanted, right? That was sort of your forte. And you made this show called Metropolis. And I think we have a little bit of Metropolis from the 1990s, don't we?
I'm Jason Bentley. It is a Friday night's Metropolis on KCRW, a very special night as we welcome to the studios DJs Sasha and John Digweed. Hi, guys.
Hi, mate.
Hi, how's it going?
Sasha, I don't think you're... Here, try that microphone. I think that...
Is that one working?
Yeah, that works. Okay. Well, happy holidays.
Who was that?
Does it, like, hearing yourself from, you know, whatever, 20 some odd years ago, does that make you crazy?
You know, it feels like I've just gotten better.
That's good.
I sound better.
That's how we all want to be, right? We all want to improve.
One would hope.
Yeah. Technology's gotten better, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your microphone's not on.
I will say that there's such a charm with our basement era. You know, that was such the golden days of KCRW. And not to say that we can't, you know, reach higher, and we will. But every day you came to work in that basement reminded of the DIY ethos that was so important to our culture, to the organization. And there was something significant about that. So even when the mics didn't work, it just still, you know, you were doing something meaningful at the end of the day.
When you look back on your career, what are some of the sessions on MBE that really stand out for you?
Well, I wanted to highlight a special performance, and it just sort of gives you a glimpse of the magical space that we created with our live sessions, and we continue to do so. But also how rare it is that a radio station would put an artist live on the radio like we did. But when you take chances like that creatively, you get magic. And that's really what happened with this song. It's called Mary. The artist is Annis O'Bell. And I feel like it's an interesting intersection of the classical world, the pop world, the alternative world, all at the same time from this artist, Annis O'Bell.
Heaven hid her face as we fell down. Ate all habits echoed in the ground. What singing one would hold me down.
Hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. What a voice.
Yeah. And so that, you know, speaks to the music discovery aspect of what we do. Really the believing in the arts, fearing no arts, and letting these creative people just bring the magic to that space.
What about others?
Well, you know, I've been waxing nostalgic on my Instagram feed.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've been posting photos and stories of some of my favorite sessions. So people like Brian Ferry and Adele and Jim James and DJ Shadow and...
You have seen so many people walk in the door at KCRW. What are some stories that you remember of artists, some great artists who've been through? And you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, he's a hot mess. Maybe you're not going to tell that story, though.
Well, I'd love to talk about Sharon Jones.
Really?
She is also featured on this beautiful record that we put out. But, you know, she's been to MB a total of 5 times.
Yeah.
And... she's always been sort of a hot mess, you know, it's just sort of all over the place and not focused, and you can tell. And then she was diagnosed with cancer. And she came to play for us 6 weeks after chemo. She was bald, you know, she was more alive and engaged than ever. I'd ever seen her. And it was so ironic that, yeah. you know, it wasn't doom and gloom for her. It was like, I am so alive in this moment. It was so inspiring. And there's just these beautiful photographs that one of our talented photographers, Larry Hershowitz, took of Sharon Jones, which says it all. You've maybe seen them, but she's in a red top and she's dancing, she's smiling.
We introduce to you Miss Sharon Jones.
And it just, it was a beautiful moment. And, you know, she lived for, I think, about 6 or 9 more months. But she really wanted to just be out and play music and do what her thing on this planet was.
So many times that when the man met a girl and took her hand, he told her, never will I leave you, my love. But it's just as soon he was born again, she went flapping in the wind, wondering what she must have been thinking of. She said, darling, I've been in and out so many doors, and I've always tried to keep my head from all the men I've known before. I've seen many places that I'll never see again. I've seen 100,000 faces and only called a few my friends. Ooh, yeah.
10 years, Jason Bentley, what's the decade been like for you personally? How much have you changed?
Wow, we've all grown up. The city of LA has come so far, and KCRW has been a big part of that. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's a job that's such a joy, but it also demands your complete attention. You really can't part-time this thing. And so for whoever takes the torch from here, you really do have to be at the right point of your life where you can, for the most part, unconditionally give. But that's the nature of what we do, and that's the great reward that we reap being at public radio, is that sense of meaning, you know, making a difference with what we do. And it's been a special run.
We're talking to Jason Bentley. He's leaving at the end of the week. How do you want to end it?
All right. This is kind of like a goof, but
is it? Okay.
It's just a funny send-off, and it's a song by the Cactus Blossoms.
Goodbye. Sure is good to know you. I'm so thankful for you. That's how I'll always
apropos, Jason Bentley.
You like it?
I do like it. It's never goodbye, though. It's only so long. And by the way, we'll still see you here.
I'll be around.
And hear your voice as well.
See you in the hallway.
It has been great working with you, too, my friend.
Yes.
And thank you for coming in to talk about it with us.
Steve, thank you so much.
'Cause I've seen a place not far from here where diamonds light up the sky. I've waltzed with my lover, rolled in the clover. I've heard the whippoorwill cry. I'm gone, but not forgotten. Trouble, sure, I've got 'em. Now they don't seem as
never goodbye, only so long. By the way, so long for me for a little while, too. I'm taking a little breather. We'll talk about that in a moment, though. But boy, I tell you, a lot of emotions going on that one, too. I've been here for, the better part of 8 years, so working with Jason the entire time, and he will be missed. He certainly will be missed in the Morning Becomes Eclectic chair. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, take a trip to the deep sea and hear the whales, why those sounds are helpful for them and for the big ships. Next on KCRW DNA with Francis Anderton, Jenna Cagle, Sarah Pellegrini, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, and Christian Bordahl make this show happen. We're online at kcrw.com, greater LA. The podcast available wherever you get the podcast. I encourage you, please give it a listen and subscribe to it. Learn more about your city and your region, even through the KCRW app. I'm Steve Chiotakis. So long for me, taking a little breather. I leave you in good hands. Have a great day.